So you take a dangerous seed right now. So what's your Lamborghini? You have so many. And Lambo slippers you buy. No. I don't know for people. Hey, I tell people, say, listen, my friend. For me, I trekked with pride. Took bike with pride. Came down from, I could select the bus. If your bus, your seat is not looking very clean. Move. I wait for the next bus. I mean, when I'm traveling, I go to places where the cars are comfortable. So no, I don't like that transport line because this is how their vehicles are. This one carries only 3 people a row. You can sit. You're more comfortable. That's how I used to make my choice. Salvation unto the day is the evil thereof. There's no prayer point that should give me a headache. You are getting what I'm saying? It's very important because that's why oftentimes faith appears as if it's not working. We pray to God for stuff. We don't seem to be getting it. A lot of times because we are praying for things that are not in that day. I tell a lot of young men, you don't want to maintain cars. Yeah, a lot of young men that are praying for you don't want to maintain it. I went to service my car last week. They said, sir, your brake pads need to be changed. I said, go ahead, change it. By the way, how much would that be? He said, 25,000 naira. I said, wait. Is that for the whole cost of servicing plus everything? He said, no, just for the parts we will put. I said, remove your new parts, return the old one first. Since I just get off of my house, put on the... I looked again, said, take your time. Next time you should call me ahead, sir. We perceive in our spirits that when you shall come, your brake pads will need changing. So put this thing back. The point I'm making is that some of the things we are praying for, you don't want to get involved in it yet. You don't want to. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, grant that we'll sit on your left and your right in your kingdom. You know what he said? You don't know what you are asking for. You are asking for things that you have no idea. Because the Lord gave it to you, doesn't mean you won't maintain it. He gave Adam the garden. Not the first thing he told him? Guard it and do what? Keep it. Guard it and keep it. That was the first thing he told him. He looked at them and said, you don't know what you are asking for. What am I saying? What the Lord was telling us, I believe, because this prayer was not just about, because, you know, when I started, there was something I emphasized. I said, meaningless repetition. Jesus wasn't giving us meaningless words. Everything he said, well, what he told us here, we're supposed to pray them with what? With meaning. They have things that are implicit in them. When he said, give us this day our daily bread. What he was saying, this is what I believe. We've recognized what things are ours for the day. We know when we are lacking them. Do you get my point? You are living in a house is rented. Very good prayer point. Give us this day our yearly rent. You get my point? Very valid prayer point. You don't come and be bowing your head. Lord, I claim all the land around here. I will walk around it. Wherever the sole of my foot will tread. No problem. You know, God knows the vex. Walk around everywhere you want. Walk around it. Carry the sand, put it in the bag, hold it. I will give it to you. In 25 years' time, come back. You will be rich, you buy the whole street. It's not a problem. Are you getting my point? And let me just tell you, whether you walk around it or not, in 25 years, you won't, in fact, this is one thing, in 25 years, you will look around the one you walked around that time. You'll go and return the sand. I don't like this place again. You know, you don't have to be trekking around some places. Your mind that time, when you dip in your pocket, you will send your money to go and walk around everywhere. You know that? You call the one man and say, you, take my money, go and walk around all that corner. And when you come, I want the deeds in your hand. You know, I don't believe in things that exact, I hope you understand my point. Too much faith. If I have to say, wake up every morning, put it on the wall, and speak to it, that you will come. You will come. Listen, God is my witness. I won't do it for a car, I won't do it for a house, I won't do it for material things. I can do that for ministry. I can put the map of the globe on the wall and prophesy to it. But please, God forbid that I should wake up and be claiming motor car in the morning. You shall be red. I say you shall be red. I speak to you that green is not my portion, but red is my portion. Please, get a cane, flog yourself. Sufficient unto the day is evil. You know what Jesus said? He said, these are things that Gentiles make prayer points. What I was saying is, I don't believe in exercising my solid. If I spend the amount of one on material thing, what will I spend prophesying on my children? What will I spend time prophesying on the work of the ministry? What will I spend, all right, energy, spiritual energy now, prophesying upon those who hear the word that I preach? Abba, I will not invest that amount of energy on the color of a car. By the time the car finally comes, you find the color is very common. You won't like it again. You notice this? The reason why you like gold colored cars is because there are not many. Then now they are all over the place. Every Camry and every Sienna now is gold colored. We don't like gold again. I've noticed that people are now beginning to like white cars. When I was young, we didn't like it because my father's 504 was white. Our neighbor's 504 was white. The 404 my father sold was white. The 505 the neighbor bought was white. So by the time everybody finished buying white, 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 when you see a red car, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so... Then all those small, small Japanese cars showed up. All of them red. Then my wife swore that she never drive a red car. What am I saying? No, we don't spend energy on those. You shouldn't exert spiritual energy on them. They are too temporal, even in your mind. They are too temporal. You ask God for it today. In 6 months, you've changed your mind. Say, God, where's that letter I wrote you that time? Bring it back. I want to edit the email. Please, I hope you have understood my point. So like I said, what the Lord Jesus was teaching us, it wasn't just about making prayer requests alone, but about having the proper perspective. That is not just, you know, he said that don't use meaningless repetitions. That is, every word here has meaning. When we come to the Lord, we understand that there is a season. Like I was saying, instead of prophesying all over the land, claiming it, it is all right. If you know your rent is going to be due in the next 3 months, Father, I thank you. Because I will never see shame. Those that please the Lord, how does he say again? Those that, Psalm 34, shall never lack anything good. You know, you quote that. That my landlord, no. I will never have to beg him. I am a giver. I am not a taker. I shall lend and not borrow. Now your landlord they talk to. Before that day reaches, money is complete. Listen to me. Before that day reaches, your money will be complete. Amen. Before that day, the money will be complete. Amen. You are going to school. They have to pay fees. Maybe you prayed and worked hard and got yourself into the university. Not too much financial support. And now towards the end of this year, you have to do projects. You have to buy this, buy that. Sufficient unto the day. Listen, pray simply about that and one naira will not be short from the money you need. You hear what I said? God will supply every dime that you require. Let me say it to you again. If you identify the need for that day and you ask God for it, every cobble will be supplied. Every cobble will be supplied. There are people that when they want to pray, they say, Lord, for this measure to go through, we have to have $650 million. And the man will wake up in the morning and grab his wife, say, come, let us pray. And they will join hands and they will pray. And they will call his business partner and say, let us pray. And they will join hands. And how much are you talking? $650 million. And you come to church and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. NCC was saying we will not be able to buy Nitel and BPE. But we prayed. $650 million. I got the call from Goldman Sachs, what they call Western Hemisphere director. And he said the money was on his way. As I'm speaking to you, we have credited BP's account with $500 million. Somebody praise the Lord. And you see one young boy will go home. I said, God, and me and you will be fighting for $20,000 for some weeks. We'll go finish on today. Hey, listen. For that guy, his day is the day of doing deals of billions of dollars. So with the same faith, you grab school fees. He uses the same dose of faith to get Goldman Sachs to send in $650 million. The same thing. Are you getting my point? You don't just become distressful because, how can you manage? God, how can I manage? How can is it that you are giving this with that amount of money? No, God said, listen, that need to him is more real than this one you are thinking about. So you may look big, but as far as I'm concerned, the amount of need he has is greater than yours. Because it's a spiritual currency. So I move that anointing in his direction, he absorbs $650 million. When I move that in your direction, all it will get is 6,500 naira. Because you are in the season that 6 months to complete your project. Nobody to print and bind. Printing and binding, 6-5 is complete. You're not doing any. The only measure you are merging is merging yourself with graduation. You get my point? But for him to fulfill the purpose of God for that season, he has to acquire Nitel, as an example. He has to merge with another company. He has to buy one company, and that's the value. And listen to me, there's no point being covetous. No, if a friend of mine gives that kind of testimony, all I will do is pump his hand and say, oh boy, now wow, God bless you. I won't even wonder why he didn't give me an offering. I'm not joking. Because I've come to understand it's a job he's doing. Listen, it's a job he's doing. He's exercising his gifts according to the proportion of his faith. It doesn't mean I'm inferior to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not inferior to somebody else who's able to pray out $650 million from the pockets of Goldman Sachs. No. You're not inferior to him in faith. You're just not in his day. Are you getting my point? You're not. That's all. When you get to your own day, if it is $2 billion you need, the same way you pray about it. Are you getting the point I'm making? The same way you will pray about it, and believe me, God will answer you. One of the reasons why he's not been answering some of our prayers is because we've been praying prayers out of their season. It is good to desire that one day you two will buy Nitel or whatever it is that is in its place that time. It's a good desire. Just nod your head, say one day it will happen. Prayer point time, don't worry about praying about that one. No. Don't worry about it. There is something that's in your day. Are you getting my point? There is something that's in your day. If you are the pastor of a church, there is something that's in your day currently. You go out, you go and see a church that has built a cathedral. Some people go to Winner's Chapel, they get confused. That's Canaan land. The people go there, all their senses will vanish. When you see buildings, Covenant University, when NUC was rating schools, I think about 2 years ago, they were number one in infrastructure. And they were one of the newest universities. Get my point? They beat UNILAG, UNIBEN, UNN, OAU, beat all those first generation universities. They were number one in infrastructure. From what I heard, before they laid foundation stone, Bishop made sure he had 4 billion naira, physical cash, not by faith. Some people think he began to build by faith. The man banked, now, if I say 4 billion, I just don't want to overestimate. I don't know the exact amount. That was the amount of cash that he could see, that he could write checks on before they put the first brick in the earth. So that once they start, you know, Bishop, you know the way he talks, say, God is moving in the land. God is not begging you for your money. You are the one that needs him. My people have a saying that the elder knows what he has eaten. Before he starts saying that, no, this small one go do. You see a senior man, you give him, you know, 2 pieces of plant. He says, it's enough. I don't want to eat much. Say, the man knows what he ate before he came to your house. Man knew. I mean, listen, I'm not saying he's not talking by faith, but you know, the faith has produced. So when he says that, listen to me, saints of God, by December this year, we are commissioning this project. And you go and buy a car, hoping that by December, God will bring money for you to pay. The man you are following, his own cash. The bankers are begging him, okay, put it in our bank now. Please, good morning, sir. They are booking appointments to see some of the small pastors, whether the money can be put in their accounts. I'm talking about what? Day. Some young men get it, they don't see straight again. Start preaching gospel of prosperity by force. Think it's because of the preaching of gospel of prosperity that the man reached there. There are many people, listen to me, who didn't preach any gospel. They just believe the ones that was preached to them and they are doing greater things. But you don't know them because they are not preachers. Yes. That's one thing I'm begging all of you, that God will bless in this life. Give testimonies. Teach young people, walk to a campus and talk to them. Because the problem we have a lot of times is that the only people that talk are preachers. And people get totally confused. A man wake up and say, praise God. Yesterday was my birthday. I said, God, this year you will celebrate for me. And two brothers came in and said, sir, you have been a blessing. And they gave me a brand new 500 S-Class. Amen. And a lot of young men say, now, wow. You start praying until God will send somebody. I said, God said, listen, my friend. You're an architect. You're not a preacher. I ain't sending anybody with any car to your house. You are going to do fantastic designs. And when they will have paid you for the design, you will buy the car with your money and go and give that man another one. Do you get the point? We need somebody like that. One has been blessed to come and say, ah, one day I woke up at night. That's why I said, go and read the book, R.G. Lotono, Move Out of Men of Mountains. So one day I just woke up and this idea came and I went and put it on paper. And next day I sat with my engineers. In fact, the story I'm telling, Lotono said he came home, fagged out after a long period in church. He wanted to sleep. Suddenly something came to his mind. He staggered to his study. Instead of going to sleep, he started sketching. Next day, gave to the engineers. Guys, this is the next thing we are building. It was a divinely appointed design for a machine. You are getting what I'm saying? Some people don't understand. A man is in his day. He has gotten to a day in which he can say, Father, this week's birthday, the car must be worth 25 million naira. And he comes. And you see one small boy pastoring a church of 25 people. Say, I've told the Lord. You know, the other man didn't tell anybody. He told the Lord alone. You come. I say, I've told the Lord this year, my Camry must be 2,000 and which more than now. Maybe, when because you say small. So we say, amen. I believed it. What you are telling them is, guys, gather the money. Say, no, I need a Jeep. You are not telling them. I said, look, my birthday is in 2 weeks' time. I just told God I must have a very clean Murano. And the men in church, I better get the point. Why? Because you listen to the testimony of a man who was in the day. Are you getting my point? Paul said, I learned to abound, I learned to abase. Christians think we don't ever have to abase. We have to. Sufficient unto what? The day is evil thereof. So he said, when you are praying, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. What am I saying to you? There is nothing you identify appropriately as being in your day that you ask for that God will not give to you. You hear what I said? There is nothing that you identify as being appropriately in your day. I don't know why students are spending time praying about motor cars when they can't use faith to get an A. Unbelievers are beating you every day in class. And you are giving testimony. Praise God. Brethren, I have told God that the first year after graduation, I am going to be driving this kind of car. If you are with me, shout amen. If you are with me, shout amen. Because they make you a campus fellowship president. They should slap you. Last exam, you got C, D, C plus, C. We manage 1B. And you are using your faith for a car that you won't graduate for the next 2 years, you know. If you can even graduate yourself. Because the way you are going, your HOD no go agree. Come on, take that faith. And put that thing on the ground. Say, Baba God, this is not good, though. This is not good. For a child of God, C does not spell Christian. What does it spell? It spells compromise. Say, Lord, I reject it in Jesus' name. Then the Holy Spirit will tell you, say, you know the problem. Say, what? You know they read. Say, sir? Yes, you know they read. Last weekend, where were you? Say, we went for that powerful village-to-village crusade. Say, listen, that's not part of this season now. You stay on campus and read. Say, yes, sir. Go for lectures on time. Pay attention. Stop meditating and receiving revelation. Because, you know, my name is Holy Spirit. I have so much revelation that I can keep anybody occupied. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So close your mind to revelation sometimes and focus on physics and chemistry. And you say, yes, sir. Say, Lord, give me the anointing of Daniel. Say, it's your portion. Say, amen. Then you come to fellowship, brethren, the Lord poured upon me the anointing of Daniel. And next exam, they will see that you're not lying. Next morning, they say, hey, see, brother Mike, he's the first to go to class today. What's happening? And they see you in class, you are not meditating. You know, those who are in school, brethren used to do all kinds of funny things. And they're walking on the road. You don't want to greet the man. You're afraid. It's when you sit down this time around, people see you concentrating. Any question, you put up your hand, you ask questions, you do your assignment. You do everything that is proper. You learn. That semester ends, first course A, next one A plus, A, A plus, A, A plus. When you get a B plus, you turn to prayer points. Ah, Lord, what's this B plus doing here? Where did I miss it? Was there any lecture I missed? The Lord said, no, that one just to let you know that it's glory by glory to glory. Sorry. Say, next semester, you will correct this one. You are exercising your faith. Give us this day our daily A. Are you getting my point? Yes. We exercise. No, you see, we have to understand that each day has its issues. That's why Jesus emphasizes sufficient unto the day. Those the one were in Lagos. People say, it's hard to buy, go to buy. I used to laugh. Because when there's press scarcity, those of us who didn't have cars never used to queue. You didn't notice? When there's press scarcity, those of us without motor cars, we didn't used to queue. Where are you going to put the fuel? Inside your shoes? We didn't used to queue. It's those who had the cars that used to queue. So it was good incentive not to even have one. Say, amen, in Jesus' name, I don't have. I'm not going to queue for anybody. Yes, we didn't have. So there's no point joining any queue. I had one colleague that time. He had one nice little old car like this. The car was always parked. I said, what's the issue? He said that he can't queue for anything. He will just be taking buses. But I knew people that queuing fuel scarcity, nothing, they will have fuel because they had the money. So for some of us that time, not having the car was good. Because of that, I used to behave like Jesus Christ. Say, what do I mean? Just used to borrow bus, don't be so. And so me to I borrow buses, just go to the bus. Hey, you carry me to jail by 10 naira, you pay. If you breeze on the road, you come down, enter the next one. You have to celebrate each season. That's the point I'm making. You know, the one I say all the time, if you are renting a house, it's a season. The Lord said, you shall live in houses you did not build. That here, an amen.
Amen.
So if the house is not yours, and you are living in it, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. You are living in a house that you did not build. It's a season. Later on, the manifestation will change. But for now, that is the season. That is the season. And let me say it again. There is nothing that you legitimately and appropriately identify as being in your season for that day that you pray about that God will not give to you. Nothing. 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 One of the reasons why we don't have answered prayers is because we are praying for things out of their season. That is, the season is not yet. We are focusing too much on it. I mean, you're a young pastor. You hear that this pastor travels up and down, goes to America for this, goes to America for holiday, goes to Europe for this. And says, it's not the same job we are doing. Yes, it's the same job, but you're not in the same season. Please, I hope you're following my point. And that's what the Lord was teaching us. Let me just get back there. All right? He said, give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. One of the greatest things you would do for yourself is to know the day that you are in and focus on exercising it, or let me say, making success of that day. One of the things I said earlier, let me repeat it again, is that your promotion into the next season is dependent upon on how well, all right, is dependent upon how well you did in this particular season. Do you hear what I said? That's why you don't exercise and waste your time in things that are not for this season. Because no matter how much you pray about that following season, if you don't qualify for it, you cannot be placed properly in that next season. Jacob had to make Laban prosper before God established him. I give this as a challenge to every Christian worker, anywhere you work. If the day you are resigning, they are saying, good riddance. Please tell them you are not resigning again. Tell them you are not resigning again. No, you are not resigning. You are not resigning. That they should give you one more year. Beg the man. Then work for him like your life depends on it. Work day and night. Make sure you are the most valuable staff. The day you are resigning, you should be feeling bad.
You know why? You are sowing seeds for your own company. That's why God said, even though you are serving a wicked boss, serve him very well. He said, because you're actually not serving that man you can see, you are serving God that you can't see. And in due season, he will give you his reward. He said, you know that from him comes the reward of life everlasting that you are looking for. The manifestation of eternal life is what you are looking for. So you serve God well by serving that man. You get the point I'm making? You, like I said to, I think I said last time, you use your prayer to download ideas to make him prosper. There are lies in the world they tell themselves. Look, this job is not anybody's job. It's true. But listen to me, it's the foundation for your tomorrow. Philadelphia to he said something then, and I was listening to him. It was very interesting. He said that anything, you know, I quoted it for us here before, that anything you do regularly, you become good at it. Let me say it again. Anything you do all the time, you become what? Good at it. Now listen to this. It doesn't matter who you are doing it for or who you are doing it to. If you work poorly all the time, you become good at it. You become so good at it that when you start your own company, you work poorly. You think that because it is your own, you will become more efficient. No. Unfortunately, you programmed your body to be inefficient. And I like the example Philadelphia gave then, that there was this big man in Nitel. Nitel. And they ran Nitel the way Nigerians run Nitel. Then they left and started their own telecommunication company. Intercellular, those of you who were there then. Yes. Intercellular, they started Intercellular. Guys who were in Nitel came outside Intercellular. It was as inefficient as Nitel. Where are they now? Where are they now? Listen, I still remember when I was in Lagos, when Intercellular and so a few of those companies were there, I couldn't understand why everybody did not have a phone. Because they had their own network. And look, you know, sometimes you are talking, this guy saying you are not in the business, you don't know. But it was common sense, everybody is doing it now. To use their phone for one day, you were paying 50 naira to hold the phone for a day, whether you use it or not. I said, this doesn't make sense. To buy the phone when we're earning 12,000 naira a month was 35,000. I said, this doesn't make sense. You know what happened? They carried the attitude in Nitel, brought it out to their own private companies. The way they polished Nigerians in Nitel, they polished their own customers. So much that when GSM companies came out, they disappeared. They disappeared. They went, the way we threw away Nitel lines, so people threw away Intercellular and all the other, they threw away their phones also. Because I used to say, look, I worked in a teaching hospital, all right? I said, look, if I run this company, I'll make sure every doctor here has one. It just made sense because they'll call themselves. Do you get what I'm saying? But this one I'm making, they're so used to running Nitel. By the time it came out, they ran the thing like Nitel. Listen, if you work efficiently for your boss, do you get my point? One day when you stop being the employee, when you are not the boss, you will keep on working efficiently. Except that this time around, the money will be going to your pocket. But if you are inefficient in this day, because you think the company is not mine, waity, the company will soon become yours. Except that your culture of inefficiency will have been entrenched. So that even though you were the boss, the company won't do well. The same way you did in the day that went past is where you find yourself, is how you find yourself doing it in the current day that you are in. You get the point I'm making? Why am I saying that? Because when people are not focused on this day, all right, they are focused on that day, the day that has not yet come. They think erroneously that when I get to that day, I will do better. Not knowing that, no, their prosperity in that coming day is determined by their efficiency in this day. And listen, there's nothing like, for all the money I make for them in that company, look at what they pay me, don't worry. Like I said, it's what? A season. It's a season. And spiritual things are spiritual. What I mean is this, that effort you are putting is a spiritual seed. It's a spiritual seed. In a season, it will germinate. In a season, it will bear fruit. In its season, it will, look, oh, listen,